Hi, I'm David Brown, host of Texas Music Matters on KUTX. Behind the scenes, a production crew is hard at work on a new program that'll take TMM to the next level, and we hope give you a bit more of what you come to KUTX for. It's called the Austin Music Experience, hosted by Jody Denberg. And like Austin itself, the accent is on live performances. New music, artists in Studio 1A, shows from the Cactus, from South by Southwest, backstage at ACL Fest, Fun Fest, the KUT Archives, you get the idea, right? I'm going to be spending more of my time on our sister station, where we're working on a news program for KUT. But we'll also be sharing Texas Music Matters reports and features and the occasional special right here on KUTX. We can't wait for you to hear the Austin Music Experience. It debuts September 6th, right here in this time slot. Till then, we hope you enjoy today's encore edition of Texas Music Matters. From the studios of KUT Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is Texas Music Matters.
KUT's Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
Welcome to a special edition of Texas Music Matters. This hour, we're on a mission. Our assignment, to pick the 10 essential recordings of Texas music. These are 10 albums we might put in a time capsule as representative of the best music the Lone Star State has to offer. Naturally, this is a highly subjective thing, especially among those of us who are passionate about Texas music, and so we've asked for some outside assistance. You might consider him to be our musical tour guide for the hour. Tom Moon is a longtime music critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You've heard his reviews on National Public Radio. Tom spent 3 years sifting through untold numbers of recordings to create what may well be the ultimate music list, the 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. It's the title of a new book. It's a listener's life list, if you will. Tom Moon, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
This is a pretty incredible undertaking. I can only imagine it must have started with you sitting cross-legged on the floor thumbing through your own record collection, no?
Exactly right. And you know what I found, first of all, was that I couldn't just go with my favorites. And you would think, an average music lover might think, and I thought at the beginning, that, okay, you start with what you know to be great and your own favorite work, and then move from there. But what I found was that, first of all, my tastes are pretty idiosyncratic and not necessarily representative. And then also that it was a bigger undertaking than that. And it felt in some ways cheating the process if I let my own favorites drive the train.
So what did you do? You talked to critics and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I did that. But first of all, what I did was I sort of went through a lot of ultimate lists, the Rolling Stone list, the Dave Marsh list of 500 great singles, the Mojo magazine, which those guys do a list every month, it seems like. And I try to cull a big list of recordings that most reasonable people would say need to be in the time capsule, things that are just so, you know, sort of classic, that world culture greatest hits kind of records. And, you know, there's no shortage of those. And, in fact, you could probably do a book of just the ones that have been rubber stamped. And I'm thinking of Bob Dylan, Highway 61. Mm-hmm. The Beatles, Abbey Road, the Beach Boys, Pet Sounds, Van Morrison, Astral Weeks, etc.
But you didn't settle for that, obviously. I mean, you really did hit a lot of nooks and crannies here.
Well, I wanted to start there, though, and I did a lot of my listening in the first, I guess, year, devoting to records like that, for the reason of, first of all, as a music critic at a daily newspaper, you are inundated with a lot of stuff that doesn't last. The stuff that, you know, makes a big splash on a certain week, you write about it, everybody pays attention to it, and then boom, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And I'm all about that. That's great, and I love doing that. But I found that a steady diet of that over something like 20 years was had impaired my ability to listen to classic records.
Sort of dulls the palate, I guess.
Well, that and also the fact that you just never listen for pleasure when you're trying to catch so many different things that are coming out in a given cycle. So listening for pleasure, again, was first of all really important to me. And second of all, it sort of taught me how much I didn't know about some of these records that I loved. I mean, you know, you can listen to something like Astral Weeks and learn something from it every time you go back. And that's a very humbling experience for someone who thinks they know a little bit about music. And it was invaluable for the beginning of this process to sort of start at the highest mountain, so to speak.
Another great thing about the way that this is organized is that once you cull the 1,000, you don't further try to rank them. I mean, you're doing alphabetical organization, thank goodness.
And I was doing this the whole time under the awareness that everyone has their own list. There are no wrong answers where music is concerned. It's, you know, often things that strike me as nails on the chalkboard sound like, you know, beautiful harps in heaven to other people. And so, you know, I try to keep that awareness and sort of check my head against the idea that, okay, if I don't get this, it doesn't mean it's not good. It means I got to do some more work as a listener.
Our special guest is Tom Moon. He's the author of a terrific new book called 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die, A Listener's Life List. We've asked Tom to talk with us about something near and dear to our heart, 10 essential Texas recordings. In no particular order, let's begin with a recording which needs no introduction.
Oh, the little things you say and do.
Buddy Holly. You know, one of the things about an artist like Buddy Holly, everyone has their favorite song. How did you settle on the recording?
When you hear the songs in progression and in chronological order, and you hear how quickly, you know, he had a short career, but how quickly his idea matured and how quickly his rhythmic sense sharpened and how good the band got quickly, it's really stunning, and you have to hear a compilation to get that.
And the one that you chose was the Buddy Holly Collection.
This record is a great little tour of his career.
Yeah.
And if you hear this and think about Elvis and what else was happening at Sun, and just like the whole sort of bubbling up of rock into before there was such a thing as rock culture, you get a sense of him being much more important than people realize.
You write about, people are going to recognize this right away. In soundbite terms, you say, Doug Somm's legacy boils down to one wild garage rock freakout that became an unlikely hit, She's About a Mover, and a few plaintive pop songs that later influenced such hit makers as Jimmy Buffett. But you go on to say that Sir Doug Somm was an underappreciated American voice. Mendocino is the album that you've chosen here.
Talk about pop craft. The list is usually the obvious ones, but Doug Somm had this great knowledge of ways to put together pop songs that make them take a simple idea like She's About a Mover and expand it out in just beautiful ways. And some of the other songs on Mendocino are just transcendent.
Me
Our guest is NPR music critic Tom Moon, author of the book 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. And this hour, we're going through his list of 10 essential Texas recordings. Much more ahead as our special edition of Texas Music Matters continues. From the studios of KUT Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is a special edition of Texas Music Matters. Our guest is NPR music critic Tom Moon. He's author of the book, 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. And this hour, we're going through Tom's list of 10 essential Texas recordings. Let's move on to someone else who was affiliated with Doug Somm we were talking about earlier, Flaco Jimenez. He has, I guess, pushed Norteño music, you write about this here, about as far as it might ever go without sacrificing its plaintive and earthy aura. Squeezebox King is the album that wound up on your radar.
Man, and you could have picked he's another one where you could have picked any one of a number of records and all his affiliated records, like the records, the Texas Tornado records and stuff. But his stuff, when you hear it in this kind of setting, Squeezebox King, is just so alive. It lets you know what deep rhythm runs through Norteño music and how far it can be pushed. I mean, there's stuff that's sort of almost polka on this record, and yet it never feels like anything less than him.
En el cielo no hay cerveza que beber, por eso ando tomando noche y día, porque ya cuando se me llegue el día, en el mundo seguirá la ferrusquía. In heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, all my friends will be drinking all the beer. Se me llegue el día, en el mundo seguirá la ferrusquía. In heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, all my friends will be drinking all the beer.
Education in Texas music, to be honest. Flaco Jimenez, Squeezebox King is the album we're talking about. Our special guest is Tom Moon. He's the author of a terrific new book called 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die, A Listener's Life List. There was an individual who has been described as the godfather of psychedelic music, and yet most people have no idea that he hails from Austin, Texas. We're talking about Rocky Erickson, and his band was the 13th Floor Elevators. You mentioned Easter Everywhere.
This is one of those records where you didn't have to know psychedelic music. You don't have to have a deep knowledge of rock and roll to hear that these people are doing something different, that this is on a level that very few artists ever get. And it's actually now very approachable. But if you think about it in its context, it was crazy.
To drive it, they are
Nobody had ever heard anything like it, for sure.
That's right, yeah. And there's still nothing like it. I mean, you know, the Captain Beefheart thing, whatever. There are certainly people who were inspired by Rocky Erickson and what this band did and went further, but the germ of this is so well developed and it's just so deliriously fun. I sort of think it's the polar opposite sort of corrective antidote to too much Guitar Hero and things like that.
Yeah, there's no such thing as the electric jug on Guitar Hero. Easter Everywhere, 13th Floor Elevators, Rocky Erickson. People so associate Janis Joplin with the San Francisco sound that I think that people don't realize or are sometimes really shocked to hear that she used to sing folk music up at Threadgill's just up the road from us here at the University of Texas. She was a student here at UT. After her death came an album that you mention in your book, 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die, Pearl.
She's not Texan in the same way that ZZ Top is. But certainly, you know, she understood a lot more music than just what was happening around her in San Francisco, too. And obviously could sing the blues.
Without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she had something of a voice on her. I've always found it pretty sad, though, that this album, released posthumously, if I'm not mistaken, I think this came out in 71, after her death, was her biggest record.
Right, and it wasn't actually finished. You know, I think there were one or two vocals shy, and they end up using rehearsal takes. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I mean, it's start to finish. It's another one of those, as happened so often in that era, where an album, a 10 or 11 song journey, really takes you someplace. And that's, you know, not to say her earlier ones didn't do that, but this one really does, and it's quite powerful.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling good was easy, love, when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything that we've done, yeah, Bobby, baby, kept me from the whole world. One day up near Selena Sloan, I let him slip away. He's looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. Train all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. But if feeling good was easy, alone when he sang the blues. Hey, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. La da da, la da da da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, Bobby, yeah. La da 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 da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, Bobby. La 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 la
the best I can, come on. And the Bob and Long and the Bob and McGee, yeah.
Song, of course, is Me and Bobby McGee from a classic album, Pearl. We're talking with Tom Moon, who is music critic for NPR, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and other publications. He has just written a new book, 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. And this hour, we're talking about some essential recordings, 10 essential recordings, by Texas artists.
Someone once upon a time, not that long ago, to be honest, stopped me in a hallway here at the station and asked me, hey, you guys have got to do a story on Willis Allen Ramsey. Whatever happened to Willis Allen Ramsey? Good question, because he had an album in, I believe it was 1972, that you write about here, and then seemed to just sort of disappear.
Yeah, and I think his retort when asked when the next one was coming was something along the lines of, what, the other one wasn't good enough? And in fact, the other one is plenty good, but, you know, it's the kind of record that makes you want more. And there again, 72, right? So the Byrds have happened, Gram Parsons has happened, and here's this guy who's got a very different take on singer-songwriter music, but also writing beautiful lyrics and just poignant stuff. And not too many people know about that record, but it's really worth finding.
Muskrat Candlelight, notwithstanding. No, that was the song that Captain and Tennille kind of made a signature, calling it Muskrat Love.
Right, but when you hear him, it's not a corny, stupid song. It's actually quite beautiful. I mean, you know, what happened to it is beyond his control.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town in and doing it right in the evening. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, muskrat Sam, to the jitterbug out at Muskrat Land in the shimmy. Sammy's so skinny. And they whirl and they twirl and they tango, singing and jinging the jango, floating like the heavens. Looks like muskrat love. Nibbling on bacon, chewing on cheese, Sammy says to Susie, honey, would you please be my missus? And she says yes with her kisses. So he's tickling her fancy, rubbing her toes, muzzle to muzzle. Now anything goes as he wriggles. I see Sue start to giggle.
da 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 da.
The album is Willis Allen Ramsey by Willis Allen Ramsey, the one and only record from a visionary. Our guest is NPR music critic Tom Moon. He's author of the book 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. This hour, we're going through his list of 10 essential Texas recordings. Want to add to Tom's list or maybe take something off? We'll tell you how, and we'll hear more iconic music from the Lone Star State as our special edition of Texas Music Matters continues. From the studios of KUT Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is a special edition of Texas Music Matters. Our guest is NPR music critic Tom Moon, author of the book 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die. And this hour, we're going through Tom's list of 10 essential Texas recordings. Ernest Tubb, the definitive collection.
Well, great country pioneer, and one of the things that we didn't expect when we organized the book alphabetically was how where any given artist would sit in the pages next to whoever. And this is one of these great juxtapositions where on one page you have Ernest Tubb and on the facing page you have Tupac Shakur. So you have sort of pioneers in two different whole worlds and people who would never have otherwise crossed paths. This guy, Ernest Tubb, one of the great songwriters. I mean, his debut hit was this thing called Walking the Floor Over You, which I think a lot of people have heard. And he had this very plain-spoken way of singing his songs, again, very, like, wry and boiled down to an essence. And he started out emulating Jimmy Rogers, the great, you know, singing brakeman,
yeah,
and developed from that this style that was so offhand, it hardly seems like he's performing at all. His work is just so effortless.
You left me and you went away. You said that you'd be back in just a day. You've broken your promise and you've left me here alone. I don't know why you did, dear, but I do know that you're gone. I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. I'm hoping and I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking the floor over you. Oh, pick it out, Smitty. Darling, you know I love you well. Love you more than I can ever tell. I thought that you wanted me and always would be mine. But you went and left me here with troubles on my mind. I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. I'm hoping and I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking the floor over you. Oh, do it pretty, son. Mm-hmm. Now someday you may be lonesome too. Walking the floor is good for you. Just keep right on walking and it won't hurt you to cry. Remember that I love you and I will the day I die. I'm walking the floor over you. I can't sleep a wink, that is true. I'm hoping and I'm praying as my heart breaks right in two. Walking the floor over you.
To this day, I can hear my father singing, "Walking the floor over you." Get down into
exactly.
That deep, deep voice. And he, obviously a hugely influential singer, Ernest Tubb. Alejandro Escovedo is a local hero here in Austin. He's been doing music since, I guess it was the mid-70s, and he's definitely a kind of troubadour, having spent considerable amount of time on the West Coast, and then he went back east, and he's been up and down with a variety of bands. You picked Gravity as an important, one of the thousand most important recordings in music. Why Gravity?
Well, it's first of all, it's a beautiful set of sad songs and very thoughtful songs, but it's the, in my mind, it's the best distillation of what he was doing with the orchestra and his groups before. In other words, it gets that urgency of the great rock band thing he did, yet has wonderful string writing and the sort of spaciousness of the orchestra as it played live back in those days. And I can remember seeing some amazing shows at Zona Rosa. And this record, to me, embodies this idea that a simple song can be rendered even more breathtaking and more beautiful with just the right kind of accompaniment. And also his singing on here, this is another one where you don't have to know the backstory or anything that he went through to feel that something profound has happened here. And many, in fact, many profound things have happened.
It's one of the more up-tempo numbers from Alejandro Escovedo's reflective and ambitious album Gravity, released a few years back. It is one of Tom Moon's 1,000 recordings to hear before you die. Tom is a music critic for National Public Radio, for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and other publications. And this hour, we're talking about some essential recordings by Texas artists. 10 essential recordings by Texas artists, to be precise. What's essential? How about
Lighton and Hopkins, A Quiet Rebuke to Life in the Fast Lane?
The story about this record is that the producer went and tracked him down in a hotel room in Houston and got him to record this very quickly. So what we hear is essentially just him. And this is not at a place in his career where he's playing a lot and he's got, you know, he's up to full speed, but it doesn't matter. He's completely taking the thing that he does and putting it out there with nothing in the way. And it's haunting. It really is. It's startling, haunting music.
Trouble. Asking you to stay away from my door. Trouble. Asking you to stay away from my door. Yeah, no poor lightning having so much trouble till I don't hear about the trouble, either hear the blues no more. Yeah, she used to say that she loved me. Whoa, but right now I found that she was lying. Oh, she used to say that she loved me. But right now I find out that she was lying. I just hope that woman, she'll make it up. One day she'll make it up in her mind. I've been wondering why, baby, you keep thinking so much wrong of me. Whoa. Oh, you keep thinking so much wrong of me. Yeah, you know if I've been a bad man, darling, poor lightning didn't intend to be. But that's all right. Someday you'll understand. Hard when two people can't get along. You know, I used to give that woman all my money, just like she was a queen. That's why that I'm wondering why would she treat poor me so mean. My mama, she told me now, I understand. It's just on account of that woman. Love with another man, but that's all right. Believe I'll overcome one day. Yeah, Yes, and when I do, I don't believe I'll have them. Little girl, put up with your low-down way.
It's a remarkable song by Lightnin' Hopkins, recorded in his Houston apartment by musicologist Sam Charters back in 1959. One of the 10 essential Texas albums picked by our special guest this hour, Tom Moon.
There's an album that I think a lot of our listeners probably have in their record collection, whether or not they're willing to admit it. That's another thing. ZZ Top's Tres Hombres. These guys, beer drinkers and hellraisers, but I think that we would all admit that Tres Hombres was the one that we wore the grooves out on back in the 70s.
Oh, man. And just that opening guitar line on LaGrange, I mean, you know, you hear that and you sort of know what life's going to be like for the next half hour or so. and it's a great place to be. And, you know, it's interesting that now it's considered a guilty pleasure. But for a long time, and certainly for a lot of people who make rock and roll now, this was an important record to check out. And it was one of those that had the sense of the blues running all the way through it, not just in the obvious places.
Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm
Long before the fuzzy guitars, there was Tres Hombres, ZZ Top, one of the albums in the 1,000 recordings to hear before you die.
And Billy Gibbons, I think, is one of the great undersung geniuses of not just lead guitar, but rhythm guitar. And this record, all you have to do is laser on him and you get an education, just that.
The thing about it was he really did appreciate where the blues came from. That was a difference. He wasn't so much riffing on people who had been riffing on the masters.
That's right.
He was directly riffing on the masters.
That's right. And appropriating those things, those John Lee Hooker-isms, in ways that totally made sense to a rock audience and could be appreciated without having known John Lee Hooker at all. And what's interesting is he wasn't, like Clapton, one of these guys who in every interview sort of rolled through the history of the blues, but he, in his playing, he directly outlines that. And I think that's an equally powerful contribution.
Tom Moon is a veteran music critic for National Public Radio, Rolling Stone, Blender, and other publications. He's also a longtime music journalist with the Philadelphia Inquirer and author of the new book, 1,000 Recordings to Hear Before You Die.
KUT's Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
Hope you enjoyed today's encore edition of Texas Music Matters. And like I was saying a bit earlier, make sure to mark your calendar for September 6th. That's when we take the wraps off a new program the TMM team has been working on. It's called the Austin Music Experience, hosted by Jody Denberg. It's an hour of new local and live music from the live music capital. We'll be back next week with our Texas Trilogy edition of Texas Music Matters. Till then, I'm David Brown, wishing you all the very best from Austin.